been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. We're broadcasting live from Ferrari every Thursday at 4 p.m. We're right here in the Woodlands, right across from the movie theater. If you have not been to Ferrari of the Woodlands, you have to see this place. This is Shrimp Tank, and we broadcast this show for entrepreneurs all across the state of Texas, and we interview some of the community's brightest and best entrepreneurs about the do's and don'ts of starting, creating, growing a successful business. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in studio today is CPA and entrepreneur extraordinaire, Aurelia Weems. Hey, how you doing, Aurelia?
Good, how are you?
Hey, we're doing good. And we've got Tom Glover with us here as my co-host. Tom is a fractional chief operations officer. How are you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, so we're glad. We're going to have a fun time today. We're going to do a deep dive talking about entrepreneurship. I have some exciting news to get started with about the show today. The Shrimp Tank is the show that also brings you live pitches from new business ideas from young entrepreneurs across the state of Texas. This is really something that's fun. It's something to see and behold. This concept is kind of like Shark Tank meets The Voice, and these young entrepreneurs pitch their ideas to see whether or not they will sink or swim in the tank. Now, we don't raise investment capital, but we do offer mentorship from with our panels. And, you know, speaking of this and students and entrepreneurship, we have some exciting news that the Shrimp Tank now is working in affiliate in association with Sam Houston State University. We had a meeting yesterday with Mitchell Musham. He's the dean of the College of Business at Sam Houston State University. And also with Chip Matthews at SAM. He's a CPA attorney. He's a university professor. And then also Jamie Collins. He's the SHSU director of the Center of Entrepreneurships. You know, the universities are now recognizing that young students need a path to learn how to go into business on their own. And so we're very excited. One of the universities that we are modeling after is in Atlanta, the Kennesaw State University. They're actually taking Shrimp Tank interviews and bringing this information into the classroom. Students like learning from those that are actually in business and doing things as opposed to so much of the just traditional path of professors and textbooks. So Aurelia's a CPA, and I thought I got a little CPA joke. Can I throw that one at you?
Let me have it.
Here it comes.
All right. Hey, you know why they call it a 1040?
No, why?
So they call it a 1040 because you make 50, I keep 10, and they get 40.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Ba-dum-tsh. Can I get a but? We need some props here, you know.
Ba-dum-tsh. Symbols.
Symbols, yeah. So we know in the U.S. that most jobs are created by small business owners, and that you might be listening to this show today. You may be that young aspiring entrepreneur. You have an idea. You got a concept. You want to launch that. And you want you've come to the show. You want to learn from some successful entrepreneurs that we interview here. However, you might be that seasoned business owner. You may have got your business to a certain level, and you know, Tom, that's a lot of your clients that work with you. Don't they get their business a certain level, and now they're
right looking to grow? They need to scale up. They've gotten started, but sometimes, you know, getting the revenue line moving up and to the right is not always easy. So.
What I hear is for a lot of business owners, they bump into some ceiling of complexity and they just don't know how to break through and get to that next level.
That's right.
Yeah. You see that, Aurelia? Because you're also a coach to business owners. I mean, you're on the tax side, but, you know, they're asking you for the same thing. Hey, how can I be more efficient? How can I be more profitable? Right.
Right. Yeah. That's what we look at.
Yeah. And we were talking earlier, you actually work with some numbers to help people run their business more effectively. You mentioned things like, what were some, a couple things you mentioned?
Like working with your gross margin and understanding what makes them go up and down, as well as your leads and conversion rates. And
yeah, so the gross margin and all that, those things you pull from their financial statements.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So one more shout out to Ferrari dealership here, Ferrari of the Woodlands. This is just a beautiful place. Did you know that, Aurelia, that part of the deal of being on the show is you have to buy a Ferrari?
Oh, nope.
We're going to have to go in together.
My husband will be happy.
We might all have to go in together, but
as long as it's red. I like red.
Look at the red one.
Yeah.
They got a red one, a black one, a white one. You know what?
Don't the police give more tickets to red cars than any other color?
If they catch you.
So on a Ferrari, they can catch you.
They got like zero chance of catching you, right?
Yes.
We did a show here like a couple of weeks ago, and they fired up one of these Ferraris and right while we were broadcasting the show. I mean, it was right here in the showroom. What Ted Jenkins say? He said, I don't know if it was the best 16 minutes or 16 seconds of my life or not, but he said, man, if it was close to it. So, yeah, we're right here, and we sit in this, we broadcast in this showroom where you actually design your car. You pick out the seats, you pick out the leather, you pick out the wheels and everything else. And I was fascinated to learn that Ferrari only sells about 7,500 cars a year. And these cars are oftentimes or usually sold by order, custom order. There's not a show, you know, there's not a parking lot full of unsold Ferraris. You have to kind of sign up and order and build your own out. And we're actually sitting in the design room. So, hey, when you're down here sometime around Tinseltown, come in and take a look at what they're doing at the Ferrari. So let's start off our show, guys. Let's definition of an entrepreneur. Let me put you on the spot, you know. What do you think of it? I say, hey, what's an entrepreneur? What's the first thing that pops into your mind? Either one of you, Aurelia or
somebody
Tom?
That's got a great product or service and they want to start a new business around that.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, sure.
Somebody's working for themselves.
Working for themselves. And my notes say they take on greater than normal financial risk to do so. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you know what? You're an entrepreneur and you really don't. You have these great hopes and aspirations, but do you really know you're going to make it?
No.
Any guarantees?
Well, so that brings up a statistic. According to Gallup, 50% of new businesses fail during the first 5 years. So entrepreneurs are putting it all on the line. That's a pretty daunting statistic, but don't let that hold you back. Entrepreneurs have a lot of spirit and a lot of drive. That's why you got to admire them.
So you're a young entrepreneur. You say, hey, Mom and Dad, I need to borrow $100,000 to start this business. And by the way, there's a 50% chance I'm going to fail.
Yeah.
How do you get over that hump?
That's a tough conversation.
Yeah, you got to be a really good kid.
You have to have a solid plan, which we talked about last show, right?
Yeah, we had a show. We talked about having a solid business plan, and that's essential oftentimes. And so, hey, one of my thoughts is if you're going to be an entrepreneur, maybe right here in the Woodlands, Texas, you might be in the very best place in the entire world to be an entrepreneur. We've got a great unemployment rate. It's compared to the rest of the nation. It's about 50% lower. Our unemployment rate here is about 4% compared to over 6% nationally. Our job growth rate is closer to 3%, and it's a third of that nationally. And we got no state income tax. And the average household income in our area is almost twice of that of the national average. So I think that's cool. We're in a great place. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs. We're here on the show today, in studio, live at the Ferrari Garage with Aurelia Weems, CPA and entrepreneur, and also with my co-host, Tom Glover. As always, you can download a complete show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. When you go to that website, you're going to see a lot of the interviews that we've had with other guests on the show. We had a CEO of a $100 million company. We had on Dr. Jeff Lind, plastic surgeon. We had on Tom Glover, your show. And then we had Chad Hendrick, Olympic gold medalist. We got a great lineup of people coming on the show. And now that we're working with the university, it's even going to get better. So when you go to the website, houston.shrimptankpodcast.com, you're going to be able to opt in your name and you'll get all the shows in your inbox, your name, your email address. Hit send, and you're going to get to enjoy the shows that we're doing. So I got a couple of nuggets, general advice to somebody to get started, some takeaways, and sometimes today we'll talk about some details of entrepreneurship, but from a motivational standpoint, I just wanted to say that sometimes you just got to start. You just got to put that one foot in front of another. You know, if you want something, you're going to find a way. And more than likely, if you don't want it that bad, you'll probably come up with some sort of excuse.
So I don't know who to attribute this quote to, but there's a quote, success does not come to you, you have to go get it. And that's very true. As an entrepreneur, you've got to have the passion and the drive. You just can't let it happen by default. It's got to be something you work for.
I love all these quotes. You know, I got the one off the top of my head that says, you can't climb the ladder of success with your hands in your pockets.
That's true.
Right? So really, you're an entrepreneur. I mean, has it been a cakewalk for you? Has it been all sunshine and rainbows? I mean, you just stuck a sign out one day and the clients came pouring in, or was it a little different?
No, it's been a lot of hard work.
Yeah?
Tears, yes.
Tears, mm-hmm. blood, sweat, tears, all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to get into that just a little bit here, but I want to give a little bit of your background here. First of all, the CPA exam that you passed to become a tax advisor, that, in my understanding, is one of the most rigorous in the country. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it was one of the most rigorous ones I've ever had to take. It was 2.5 days. I had to study for a year.
You mean you go in a classroom and 2.5 days later, they feed you while you're taking a test and you sleep there?
No, they let us out after each section was 4 hours long.
Each section was 4 hours long, and they just take you through. By the way, this tax code that...
I was about to ask about the tax code. I'm sure it's a foot high at least.
No, a foot high, for crying out loud. It's they claim it's how many... I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't read it all.
They claim that it's 7 times the volume of the Bible.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you stack 7 Bibles, okay?
There you go.
That's our tax code. And you're supposed to know all of that forward, backward, sideways, inside and out, right?
Yes.
Wow, seems impossible.
You must be smartest one at the table here. If you did that, I don't know how you did that.
So in one of my jobs, I spent some time in finance, and they asked me to lead a team of professional finance folks, CPAs, that sort of thing, in an acting role. And I got a little bit of affinity for P&Ls and that. And after a point in time, they said, you need to get an accounting degree if you want to keep this job. And I took I took one class, and I hated it. I could not stand. I get journal ledgers and general ledgers and journal entries, all that stuff. It drove me crazy. So I don't know how you do it.
You got to be cut out for that. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Aurelia's biography, her background, her introduction of who she is. And we're going to go to commercial break. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank, and we'll be right back.
Ferrari's newest state-of-the-art boutique and atelier design center is now open in the Woodlands at 1501 Lake Robbins Drive, 2 blocks east from Cinemark 17. Please visit and let us show you why there is nothing like a Ferrari.
Okay, we're back. So, Aurelia, listen, I pulled down some facts on you getting ready for the show. I know you're the CPA. I read a little bit about you do income tax preparation for all types of business and individuals. You do IRS and state audit representation. Does that mean if I get audited that I can go hide and you go talk to the auditors for me?
Yes, I can show up for you and you can continue to enjoy your day.
Oh my gosh, I love you. I do not want to go talk to an auditor. I would be scared to death.
It's probably best that you don't.
Yeah, because I might say too much, right?
Yes.
Right? Is that what happens actually?
Yes, they say too much.
Yeah, so you're over there like kicking them under the table and or just say, hey, don't come, go fishing, let me handle, I got this.
Yes, we got it.
That's some great insurance, you know.
So I say all the time to other family members, my wife, don't offer any information unless you're asked for it. So a lot of people always get in trouble because they say too much. I'm totally with you on that, Aurelia.
Yes.
So you're a QuickBooks expert. You do business startup services. So if I'm a small business owner, I want to form an entity, you can help me with that. You do bookkeeping, financial statements. You've been called the most trusted CPA or one of the most trusted CPAs in the Woodlands. So I was quite impressed with your credentials, but knowing your practice individually, I know that you have a team approach and that you're very proactive, progressive, and that you work hard to help people find the most optimal tax structure for them. So we're delighted to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about your business and what your role is in the company, and just kind of give us a little background about your firm.
We like to help small businesses because we want to see them succeed. So my role in the company is I go out to find the businesses, and then I bring it back and have my staff help me work on whatever duties that they need help on.
Okay.
And we talked earlier, so one of the things that you said makes it so where people really like working with you is that you're responsive. And you have the personal touch that I think most CPAs are more businesslike, and it doesn't really make you feel like you can get somebody on the other end of the phone when you pick up and need their help.
Yes, we do have a personal touch, and our clients like to come talk to us because I can explain things in a way that they can understand it versus sounding like I just came out of law school. So,
yeah, so you can kind of make it easy to understand for people.
Yes.
Yep. So I guess, you know, you worked for a big company. Didn't you work for one of the big energy companies, Chevron or Shell?
I worked for a couple of them, Chevron and El Paso.
Okay, Chevron, El Paso. These are big companies. They have salaries, pensions, all the suite of corporate benefits. What on earth made you leave all of that, all that security, and just go out and put a shingle out there and just said, hey, I mean, wasn't that a little bit like jumping off a cliff?
Yes, it was. But I had some family reasons. I needed to be available for my son, as well as my parents had become ill, and I needed to be able to take off and take care of them. So it was a perfect opportunity.
So some freedom was part of the motivation.
Definitely.
Yeah, and was that all the motivation, or was it also you wanted to be your own boss?
I wanted to be my own boss. I didn't like how things come down from corporate mandates telling you we have to do this. Our budget has to be this because that's the number that it has to be. It didn't make sense.
That was my gripe, too. Too much command and control in a lot of corporations.
And things don't always make sense. It's just whatever the management said.
You don't like being told what to do, do you?
No, I don't.
You know, that's the especially thing with us entrepreneurs. We're just like weirdos. We don't fit in most places, most corporate structures, right? We just stick out and, you know, we don't belong there, right?
Well, especially when they tell you what to do and it doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess that, tell us how you feel about, for entrepreneurs, I think that a lot of people today might be looking for kind of an easy path to success and riches. And, you know, we can all see that person that, you know, the dot-com guy that, had the little company, the Zuckerbergs or whoever that went from, hey, I'm a 26-year-old billionaire. You know, but I don't really see that as being real life and reality in most cases. Tell us a little bit about the whole concept about working smarter or harder. How do you feel about that? You need to work smarter or harder or both, or what's your thoughts?
Yes, you need to work smarter and harder.
Smarter and harder?
Yeah, it's just going to depend on what's needed at that time. Sometimes it's got to be harder and sometimes it's got to be smarter.
How many hours did you work when you kind of started yourself out? Were you like, you know, clocked your 40 hours and went home and see how it all works out, or?
Oh, no, there was 80 to 100 hours a week.
You're kidding me.
Geez. Well, that's similar to what we talked about this morning. So you got to be able to roll up your sleeves and pretty much put the personal life on hold, so to speak, if you're going to start your own business.
Yeah, and you've been in business 10 years now, right? So you're past that five-year mark where most people fall out or don't make it. That's very interesting to me, because if you're listening there and you think, oh my gosh, this lady's insane, 80 hours a week, you know, I mean, live, breathe, eat, sleep it. You know, entrepreneurship's not for everyone, and it's not for a whole lot of people, because you just have to do more. The rewards are bigger, or the opportunity for rewards are bigger. But I think there's a price that, quite frankly, most people are not willing to pay.
That's true.
Yep.
It's a lot of hard work.
Yep. What are your thoughts about a young aspiring entrepreneur that maybe they have a great idea, but they've not yet found the confidence or the validation to launch their product or service? And they're like, I want to do this. I'm excited about it. But they just haven't been able to either, you know, just bust that logjam and get started. What do you say to them?
Well, first they could start taking small steps and just start working on it and start moving forward. I definitely wouldn't put it in my back pocket and hold on to it. Tell more people about it and make sure you protect your assets.
Yeah, start where you can start something. That may be a baby step, formulating a business plan, Tom, right?
So that's one of the things that I do is I provide business plan support for people that are starting up. So I was curious to know, did you have a business plan when you started, or did you just kind of dive in?
No, I just jumped with no plan.
Did you?
Well, I had sort of a backup plan because I worked half the time for El Paso.
Yeah.
So they let me work part-time, 20 hours a week, and the other 60 were mine.
It sounds axiomatic that I got to have a business plan. It just sounds that way. However, people do pour many hours into business plans, and they go on the back shelf, and things are changing so rapidly. So I would say, in my opinion, you know, general idea, it's a good idea to have a plan. But oftentimes the development of these business plans keep people from even starting. So sometimes it needs to be, you know, fire, aim, ready, you know?
Yeah, I had a plan in my head. It wasn't written down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the important thing is you got your start, you stayed busy, you got your business. So you're not working 80, 100 hours anymore.
Except during tax season.
Except during tax season.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, how do you prop yourself up from that? Do you, like, have a coffee IV or something? What do y'all do?
Yes, a lot of coffee.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Starbucks is our friend.
So what's work-life balance like for you today, Aurelia?
Well, I wouldn't say it's balanced, but it's flexible.
It's flexible.
Yes.
So yeah, yeah.
I think can take off and go see my granddaughter graduate or... go to conferences that I like to go to or just stay home if I need to.
Yep. So you guys are both really numbers people, and particularly you, Aurelia, and, you know, knowing the numbers, okay, better than most people, why do you think so many business owners fail?
Because they don't know their numbers.
Oh, okay. They don't know their numbers. They're winging it, and it's a hope and a prayer.
Yes, they're just looking at their bank account. They don't know what the cash flow is, what their margins are. If they're going to have a cash shortage in the future, they have no way of knowing it.
Mm-hmm. See, so that's music to my ears, because that's exactly what I preach. You know, I agree with you about you can plan too much, you know, analysis paralysis, but at the end of the day, you should have something in writing with some assumptions and then track it along the way. And I'm a big believer in, you know, just keeping cash flow statements going and understanding if you're in the black or in the red and how you're going to cover your expenses. And a lot of people try to do that and fly by the seat of their
pants. Yeah, you got to know your numbers. You know, to be credible, you have to know your numbers. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be back in about 30 seconds. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank. We're broadcasting live today from Ferraria, the Woodlands. And when we return, we've got a segment called Hot or Not, Aurelia. We're going to put you on the hot seat and ask you some questions that you may not have had a chance to answer under the gun before. We'll be right back.
Aurelia E. Weems, CPA, has been servicing families and small businesses in the Woodlands area for more than 10 years. You can find out more information at www.aewcpa.com or give Aurelia herself a call on 936-273-118 and find out why she's known as one of the most trusted CPAs in the Woodlands.
Okay, we're back live on The Shrimp Tank. You can hear us every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here where we broadcast live from Ferrari of the Woodlands. And always you can download a replay of the show and our other shows at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin, with my co-host, Tom Glover, and our special guest today, Aurelia Weems. So, Aurelia, just tell us a little bit about how you stay motivated.
Oh, well, I do a lot of prayer and meditation. So I keep my goals written so that I know that what I'm actually going for.
Do your goals change, or what do you have?
My long-term goals haven't changed.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
The short term, maybe, but
when you started your company, did you have to raise capital, or did you just bootstrap it and just dig in and kind of get started and, you know, work off of your checking account or credit cards? How did you?
Yeah, I bootstrapped it. So as I earned, that's how I kept reinvesting in my company.
Got it. All right.
Do you have like a coach or somebody that helps you, you know, grow your business now, or do you kind of do it on your own?
Well, after about 5 years, I did start checking out hiring a coach. And so I actually have two business coaches. I have one for CPAs and one for general business.
Mm. Okay. Good. So you're a believer in having a coach.
Definitely.
Yeah.
They have the ideas that I may not know about.
Yep. And they keep you on track. And then it's accountability too.
Yeah.
Right?
They do help out with accountability. And when you have a plan, that they can say, okay, well, how are you coming along with your plan?
So that'd be good advice for any entrepreneur, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what book is on your nightstand right now? Like, what's a good book, or maybe something you've read recently that you think that, you know, would be a good read for a young entrepreneur or any entrepreneur for that matter?
The Entrepreneur Roller Coaster by Darren Hardy.
Darren Hardy is the editor of Success Magazine?
Yes. Well, he was. Now there's someone else doing it right now.
Okay, but he's a very well-known, credible expert on success and entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about that just a little bit.
Oh, well, he talks about a lot about what he did in his startup and the fact that he had a garage full of water products and
Waterlogged products.
Well, water softener type things to sell, and that's how he got started in his dad's garage.
I get that feeling, and this is a guy that fills up whole auditoriums. He's a much highly sought-after speaker. I get the feeling it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows for him.
Right, and he does. The idea is that we are on a roller coaster, and we do have our ups and downs.
Yeah, no doubt. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs. As always, you can download a complete show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. We're going to play a little game with you, Aurelia. Are you up for that?
Sure.
Okay. It's called Hot or Not. So, yeah, we're going to ask you some questions and just get your response on the topic or the idea. Are you hot or not? So the first one is hiring family members. Hot or not?
Not.
No, she doesn't like that. Why? How come?
Well, it just depends on how qualified they are, and because once you hire your family, you can't get rid of them.
No, you can't. Ooh. In general, they can be a real pain, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, how do you...
My daughter-in-law does work for me, but...
Is she a pain?
No.
Oh, she's listening, right? Yeah, so how do you really, like, call, like, your... You know, if you have your son or daughter working, I'm calling you in for a review. And they're like, Dad, right?
Right.
It's complicated. It's a different dynamic for sure. And business plan, hot or not?
Hot.
Hot, okay.
All right. How about social media?
Hot. Very hot right now.
Very hot. Tell us more.
Well, I didn't used to think that a CPA could even get business off of a social media, but I do get a lot of business coming in from Facebook and LinkedIn.
Yes, I'm your friend. I see your posts. I mean, see good stuff. Like, you know, I read this, and it's just got good little tidbits all the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a personal Facebook page and a business Facebook page?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right, cool.
How do you feel about paying out bonuses to employees? Hot or not?
Hot.
Oh, you like them to share in the bounty?
Yes, because I want my employees to feel a part of the company and that they have what they do has a direct result on the company.
How about you get that guy that comes in and says, hey, you know, I want to potentially work with you, but you're going to cut me a deal. I want you to discount your services. Hot or not?
Not.
Not. Why not?
Because once you sell yourself short, it's hard to come back.
Yeah.
And they're just price shopping. They're not buying you for your value.
Cheap and good usually don't go hand in hand, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. One of the things I heard is that if you think good advice is expensive, try the cost of bad advice.
True.
Right? That's what you're talking about, really expensive. And when we're dealing with taxes, profitability, companies, business in the harsh world can send out tuition bills that many people can ill afford to pay. So how about bartering? You know, if someone said, you know, hey, I want you to do my bookkeeping and my tax returns and all that, and we could swap out, you know, how do you feel about kind of doing trade out professional services?
Not.
No?
No.
No?
Oh, well, there goes that idea.
No, because if you get audited by the IRS and you tell them that you barter.
Oh, they don't like that.
They will dig in more.
Oh, they want to start sniffing around, right?
Yeah, because sometimes when you're bartering, it might be personal services for business services, and so that's not something that they like.
So not to go off on a segue too much here, but what are some of the audit red flags? It seems like they've either changed.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. Yeah, well, what keeps me out of the grease, you know?
Well, you want to make sure you have a mileage log for any mileage that you claim, and you want to make sure you have meal receipts that say who was there and the business purpose.
Well, yeah, you take care of that for people, right?
Yes. Mile IQ takes care of the mileage
log.
Yeah,
I use Mile IQ.
Is it an app?
Yes, it's a great app.
Oh, very nice.
It's on your phone, and when you're traveling, it records your mileage, and it's very cool. You download it.
I just need my car to take care of it, you know?
Well,
Dan, where are we going? We're going to work.
Yeah, your GPS, your phone tracks it via your GPS.
Okay. All right. That simplifies things. How about capitalism? You know, in this in this. And that reminds me, I got another good question I want to ask you. But capitalism during this election season, that's been under fire. The whole idea of capitalism, are you hot or not?
Hot.
Me too. How about you, Tom?
Of course I'm hot on that.
Man, I love it. That's what gave us the opportunity to sit here today and be in this Ferrari garage and dealership. So now I'm going to really put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
So which presidential candidate, since we're not PC here. We're not afraid to say
you're going there.
I'm going to go there now.
Oh man.
Uh-oh.
Can I go there? Yeah, cuz we're boiled down to two, there's a lot to be said about both of the candidates, but which presidential candidate, we're talking about the Donald and, the Hillary thing. I didn't mean to call her thing, the Hillary thing. The Clinton.
Okay.
Because he's the Donald, but which presidential candidate do you feel is best for entrepreneurs and small business owners and why?
Donald Trump.
Yay. Tell us why. Tell me more.
Because he is an entrepreneur. He's like one of the main definitions of an entrepreneur.
Okay. In many ways, right? You think he gets it more?
Yes, he gets it. He's been there.
You think he's more likely to shape policy in the favor of business owners?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, yeah. He's not looking at business owners as the enemy, right?
Right, right. Yeah. He knows that that's how he made his money.
Yeah. Isn't it business owners that create jobs? Does the government create any jobs?
They have a few, but not the majority.
I will tell you that they've been creating thousands of jobs in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. for regulators to step on the throats and the necks of small business owners. And I, for one, am tired of that. So I'm really hoping for some real change as that comes about. We're going to go to one more commercial break. We'll be back in just 60 seconds with our guest, Aurelia Weems. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you live from Ferrari of the Woodlands. When we come back, we've got a segment called Plead the Fifth. We're going to ask you some questions, put you under the gun, really, see how you feel about that. Here we go.
Is planning, saving, and investing for retirement been on your to-do list for far too long? Then look no further than right here in the Woodlands with the coaches of Provident Wealth Advisors. Don't put saving for your future off any longer. Get started today. Call 281-466-4843. Visit Provident on the web at www.providentwealthllc.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Provident Wealth Advisors, a registered investment advisor in the state of Texas. Insurance products and services are offered through Goodwin Financial Group. Provident Wealth Advisors and Goodwin Financial Group are affiliated companies.
Okay, we're back on Live Shrimp Tank Podcast. You can hear us every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m., right here where we broadcast at Ferrari of the Woodlands. And also you can download a replay anytime at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. We got a great show for you next week. We're going to have the principals and owners of a compounding pharmacy come in. And we're going to have some representatives from the entrepreneurship program at Sam Houston State that are part of the interview there. So we're going to move on into our segment, just have a few more questions and hope to gather some insights. But tell us about maybe one or two of a game-changing decision that you've made with your business.
Well, the biggest one was actually hiring the coaches, because they did take my business with them. I did take my business to the next level.
You did. And that was kind of a gamble. It was a lot of money. These guys aren't cheap, right?
No, they're not.
Right.
How did you find them?
One of them I had accidentally stumbled upon from social media, and the other one was local. I actually went through three coaches before I found the good one.
Wow. Okay. Afterwards, I want to talk.
Okay.
So, hiring good people, what's kind of the key thing there? How do you find good people to hire?
Well, that is I haven't quite got that one nailed down yet, but I do know that we have to have a lot of communication, and my coach tells me, be slow to hire and quick to fire.
Oh, that's good.
I've heard that before too.
Yeah.
Take your time, find the right person, and when they're not working out, sometimes you got to rip the Band-Aid off, right?
Yes.
The cost of hiring the wrong person is huge. A lot of people don't realize that till
too late. That's hard in a small office sometimes because you're friendly, you genuinely like each other, but sometimes they're just not getting the job done, and you have to be a business person and make that step too. How do you market for new clients, and what's been your most successful marketing strategy?
My most successful has been my website and social media campaigns that are managed by a company that specializes in tax and accounting. And we get most of them through the web or internet.
Okay. Most of your clients are coming through the web and the internet. What do you think it is? Like, they go browse, they're looking around, you and some other CPAs, and something on your website kind of they connect with. What would you say that is?
The fact that I speak with them bluntly on the website.
Okay. So you mean you have some dialogue or you have some explanations about tax-related questions and items that they can connect with easy?
Well, it's more like it's not the same thing across all the accounting pages that other websites have.
Okay. A little more consumer-friendly
mm-hmm.
for people that don't talk the tax language.
Correct.
So initially, are they Googling you? Do they come up on a Google search?
Yes, they Google me.
Okay.
So I'm either one or two on the ranked on Google.
Oh, really? That's wow. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so in our Plead the Fifth section, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and there's one of them that you don't have to answer, but the other ones you have to answer. We're putting you on the spot. Whichever one you say, hey, I don't really want to answer that, you could say, I plead the fifth, okay? So here's the first one. Is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
See, that one
yes.
tripped.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, she answered.
Is that the one you pleaded the fifth
right
on?
Right out of the gate. Yeah, that
yeah.
one set me up.
No, it's a good idea as long as you know it ahead of time.
As long as you know it ahead of time.
Yes.
Yeah, and you pulled a bait and switch on your wife, didn't you? You marry her when you had a job, and then you like...
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
Did you?
And
yeah.
Now she's looking at me funny.
Is that full disclosure?
No.
No. Sometimes it works out that way.
I had her support from the get-go, so just...
Yeah. Okay. So long as he's taking care of things.
Yeah.
Have you ever had two employees, hook up in the office?
I can honestly say I haven't.
Oh, that she knows about. Do you have cameras in the office?
Well, 90% of my workforce is female. So.
Okay. Well, hey, we're living a kind of a modern secular crazy.
But I have a small office. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You have men's restrooms, women's restrooms, and any other kind?
No, we just share.
Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. All right. Did you ever come close to missing payroll?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, as you know, CPA firms do not do a lot of work in November, December, and January. So.
Yeah, it gets tight, and
yes.
you got to keep your staff, right? And,
yes.
And they want to get paid.
Yes, and when some clients want to put off paying... Then you have to find other ways of floating the payroll.
That's got to be hard.
Yeah, you need a couple of goons to go around and just say, hey, offer them protection.
Yes.
I'm going to give you some protection if you don't pay Aurelia,
Yeah.
In your profession, do you have a big issue with receivables or?
For the most part, no, but occasionally we do.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who's your most fierce competitor?
I plead the fifth.
Oh, she finally did it.
She's politically correct.
I was hoping she'd answer that one.
She doesn't want to name names.
No.
Okay.
I might have to call on them later.
Yeah, okay. You might hire somebody from their firm or something like
right.
that. Right. Who's the best-looking entrepreneur that you know in the Woodlands?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, got her on that one.
Yeah, you have to plead the fifth twice, can you?
Huh?
I think she is.
Wow.
You can say me.
Know.
I'm sitting right
okay.
here.
Okay. Dan.
Okay,
Dan.
There you go. Oh, that was easy, right? Or Tom.
Are you an accountant?
Huh?
What was the question?
Entrepreneur.
Not accountant.
Oh, okay.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few in my B&I group, so.
Okay. Any names?
No.
Okay.
They might be listening.
Let the record reflect that the best looking entrepreneur that she knows in the entire Woodlands is Daniel Goodwin. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, her glasses are foggy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she's missing her contacts today. So, dream car or dream vacation?
Dream vacation.
Oh, that was easy. You didn't even have to think about that. Mm-hmm. Retire in a yacht or at the beach?
At the beach.
She didn't have to think about that either. That was automatic.
I told you those are written.
Oh, these are written goals.
Oh, yes.
You know what?
Oh,
you know what they
go.
Say? What the mind can see and believe, it can also achieve.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So is it lonely at the top being a successful entrepreneur and having people working for you and kind of the buck stops? I mean, is that lonely sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes it does get lonely.
Yeah.
You have issues, it's very difficult to, you can't talk to the employees about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the good thing is
we don't let them know that I had issues trying to make a payroll, for sure.
Yeah, they got paid somehow.
Yeah, they got paid.
All right, and yeah, the coach to talk to, and that's good. I think every entrepreneur needs a coach. How much money would it take for you to walk away from your business? What's your number?
$1.5 million.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That one stopped me. So, yeah. That was it.
Where are you going if you sell out, you get the,
this is just this business.
Bucket and a half
and
large.
I'll start another one.
She's got other businesses. She's got real estate and a lot of irons in the fire and this and that. And so.
I would have said 1.6 million. So,
these are all really great answers. It's been a great interview. We're excited to learn your entrepreneurial skills and learn more about how you run your business and not just the tax. We know you're a tax expert, but I just think it's exciting that you have, about 1,000 clients in the Woodlands area. Most of them are business owners, and not only do you have the tax perspective for them, but you also understand the world that they live in trying to run, own, build, operate a company, and I think that's awesome. These are just great answers, and we're really grateful to have you on the Shrimp Tank. We want you to join us again next Thursday at 4 p.m. We're going to be broadcasting live again here at the Ferrari dealership. We're going to have a couple of guys on that are Sam Houston State alumni, and they own Chryson Care Pharmacy. It's a very, very successful compounding pharmacy. They have a great entrepreneurial spirit. They have a great entrepreneurial story, and we're going to get to you. You're not going to want to miss that show. It's going to be awesome. You've been listening to The Shrimp Tank, where we help turn the dreams of young entrepreneurs across the state of Texas into their reality. I am your host, Daniel Goodwin. My co-host is Tom Glover, and thank you for listening to The Shrimp Tank. Don't forget, you can download the podcast, shrimptankpodcast.com. You can sign up to have all the podcasts dropped right into your inbox. You can go like the Shrimp Tank page on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front I'm a lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.